A dousing. It was almost up over that sidewalk when I left today. And we got, I think, a little more on the way. But by next weekend, it's going to be feeling fallish. It'll be in the 60s at night and the 80s, low 80s, and that's nice. Praise God. Saturday and Sunday is going to be beautiful. So we were so happy to see so many folks that were in church, and we had a problem with our new high-tech television. It's not, it's not compatible with our old equipment. So we might have to upgrade a thing or two here or there. We'll get it working, but this one will do until we do. Amen. I was so glad today. This was one of the most dismal days, I think, that's been in the whole year. And to see so many people in God's house hungry to worship and serve Him just did my heart good. And I know it did the Lord's heart even better. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're glad you came back tonight. I imagine you're a little bit tired. Okay, see, that's a young woman that's shaking her head. No, I knew that this is one of the young ladies of the church. Amen. The older ladies are saying, you got that right. See, the Lord is just, when He saved her, she still got that joy that we all need to never lose. The joy of Jesus in her heart, and I'm so proud of her, and I'm just so proud of the Lord for what He's doing in so many lives, in so many hearts, here and all over the world. And when we see what He's doing behind prison bars, like at Angola prison, and we're going to go a little deeper into the testimonies. We got little snippets. We may go a little deeper tonight as the Lord leads into testimonies of those Angola, as we get ready to pray, Brother Taylor, in Louisiana. Is one of the largest hard time prisons in the United States of America. It's also one of the bloodiest prisons. It has a history of a lot of bloodshed because the average sentence, if you take all the people in Angola, in Louisiana, in prison, and you add their time up, the average sentence, all averaged together, is 88 years. A lot of people are doing life without parole. Some people are doing 110, 115, 120 years, which they'll never do. They essentially will, without God's intervention, will die in prison. But to see freedom in that kind of condition, people that have hope in Christ in that kind of condition, I look around at people that are supposed to be free, that lose their hope in Jesus so quickly. And I say, Lord, whatever they got a hold of in Angola, we need a lot of that in the church, because there's a lot of people in prisons of fear and doubt and bitterness and hurt, amen, in churches that need that kind of freedom. So we need a deeper walk with God than just this religious brand of superficial Christianity. We need a walk that sets us free. Hallelujah. Well, I know that I'm saying things that everybody might not get tonight, but I'm still happy today. I still believe that God is on the throne. I believe that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that He is no respecter of persons. Amen. So that God that sets others free is here to set us free tonight. Praise God. So I pray that everyone in this building walks out of here free in Jesus, celebrating the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, would you lead us to the throne?
Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. And how many of us here this morning? You really enjoyed that word, didn't you? Great word of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your loving kindness. Thank you for your word, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord Makanda. Lord, thy word, we've hid in our heart that we might not sin against you, Lord. Thy word, Lord, let the command, Lord Mahanda. Thank you, Lord. Yendo, Lord Makanda. Thy word is forever settled in heaven, Lord. And we thank you for the word of God. Lord, help us to take the word of God seriously and take you seriously, Lord God. Help us to humble ourselves at your mighty hand and trust in thee and do your will. Lord, we're here to move in this service tonight, Lord. Just have your way, Lord. Stir our hearts, stir our minds, Lord God. Revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee, Lord God. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. Bless, deliver, heal, set free, meet every need that's present, God. For any that are unsaved, save them, fill them with the Holy Ghost, God. And help us, Lord God, to walk in love. Thank you for the victory, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray and for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's lift him up tonight before we just pray together. A lot of things have begun to happen once we begin to dedicate this night to just a 10, 15 minutes of intercessory prayer. When we begin to pray every Sunday night for God to stretch forth his hand and move, two things begin to happen. Number one, the enemy cut loose with everything that he had. But he lost. He lost. And prayer is prevailing tonight. For those who pursue it and those who stand together, we're going to see God do wonderful, mighty things. And in order for some prayers to get answered, things have to get worse before they get better. Hallelujah. So I expect some things to get worse as we pray, because that means that God is bringing things to a place where he is going to work within it, where he can work. Just like these men in prison, they said, you know, so many distractions out of prison, but when they landed in prison, that all changed. Can you say amen? So sometimes it has to get real bad before it gets real better. And maybe it just hadn't got bad enough to get better. I got to tell you this story. We're going to pray. But we're going to move real quick through the songs and really into this tonight. But that a woman had been praying for her husband up in Georgia for years and years and years and years and years. And not only was he going wrong, but their sons grew up and they had a farm. So they stayed and worked with their dad. And they all went out drinking on Saturday night. They all went out carousing. I mean, now she's not only got her husband still lost, but now her two sons are following his bad example. And one day, they raised watermelons as one of the things they cash crops. And they were out in the field cutting watermelons to load them into the truck. And a huge rattlesnake bit the daddy on the calf of the leg and locked in. He couldn't hardly get it unhooked from his calf, locked around a tendon or something, and just poured all that poison into him. Amen. By the time they got him from the farm, out of the field to the farm, and from the farm to the hospital, he was very, very near dead. And he called on the name of the Lord. His sons came around his bed, and they repented of their sins, said, Lord, if you'll let our daddy live, we'll. And they got right with God. And when he got out of the hospital, the mama, the two sons, and the daddy, amen, had came to church and rededicated their life and made a commitment. And the pastor was so overwhelmed to see that. He said, I am so glad that brother so-and-so gave his heart to the Lord. And these two young men have given their heart to the Lord. And he said, but there's so many people out there that haven't given their heart to the Lord. Lord, send us bigger and longer rattlesnakes. Well, I'm not going to pray that you get snake bit tonight to get you close to God or the devil get a hold of you. I'm just praying that your heart will melt with love for Jesus, and you'll see the joy of serving him, and you'll see the value of getting close to him and staying close to him tonight. Amen? Amen. Are you glad I'm not praying for rattlesnakes? Amen. All right. Praise the Lord.
We need to pray for Alice. They took her home sick, and she didn't look well back at the table today. She looked like she felt
right.
Really
let's
bad.
Do that right now before we sing this last song. Let's just believe the Lord tonight. This is intercessory prayer that we're headed for anyway, and we're in a prayerful frame of mind tonight. And the scripture said that we should, whatever we ask actually in prayer, believing, we shall receive. If two or more of us come together in his name, he said, I'm here. But he's not here just to let us feel his presence. He's here to work. He's here to move tonight. And he's here especially to move in behalf of others that we pray for. I'm convinced of that. He said, if two of you on earth shall agree as asking anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or more of you gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So, Lord, we're not trying to get our prayer past the stars and planets. Lord, we're praying to a present God. In fact, we're praying to a very present God. Especially when there's trouble, it's like you draw even closer to us and make yourself available to us when trouble comes. A very present help in the time of trouble. So, Lord, the trouble distracts us from the very presence of God that is so near us when the trouble comes. So, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus for Alice tonight. Lord, that you will heal her body as long as you leave her here with us. Father, and upon this earth, Father, we pray for healing and strength and health in her body. And we pray like we came together tonight in the name of Jesus Christ for this answer. Strengthen her tonight. We love her, Lord. We'll be honest with you. We don't want to lose her tonight. We want to keep her here with us. We need people with sweet hearts and sweet spirits and people that still stand for you and through their standing for you encourage others. Father, let her stay with us, Lord, by healing her and raising her up, Father, and giving her back to us in health and strength in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Hallelujah. Even so, let it be. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. Glory to the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being here. Be very bold and very courageous, saith God. Call upon me, for the shout of a king is indeed among you, saith the Lord. And I am with you to help you and to hear you, yea, and to lift you up and to answer your prayers this night, saith God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm convinced of that. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wake us up, Lord. Hallelujah. Shake us up, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just for these few moments we spend in holy intercession, let every fiber of our being be committed to it tonight. In the name of Jesus, we'll lay these old bodies down tonight. We'll drag them through tomorrow somehow and lay them down again and refresh ourselves. But tonight, we need our spirits refreshed in you. Hallelujah. And oh, Lord, we need answers to prayers tonight. So we pray with fervency, Father, with passion and love and faith and power in the name of Jesus, with desperation and great expectancy in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you can do anything. There's nothing too hard for you. You're the God who answers even while we're thanking you for it, while we're praising. Some hard cases, hard situations to pray for. People whose hearts seem so hardened, so far away from God that it looks to the natural eye that it would be impossible to reach them. I love what my wife said about the potter today, that even if it comes out of the oven and it's still hardened and it hasn't softened, and he still doesn't throw it away. He breaks it down, grinds it to powder, mixes fresh clay with it, and continues his work in that pot. And God's grace is something that I'm learning more and more about because I'm becoming more and more dependent on it in my personal life. The more I grow in him, the more I'm dependent on his grace and mercy. I was dependent on the Holy Spirit and my authority to use the name of Jesus and my faith for a long, long time until I broke under the load of stresses that was beyond all of that I had at my disposal. And I discovered that I needed more than, as a foundation for all of that, I needed to rediscover the grace of God and to come back and lean on him like I leaned on him when I first got saved. Remember when you first got saved and you didn't know so much and you didn't have so much and you thought, you know, you wasn't just, you know, you're just trying to get it all and grasp it all, but you knew one thing. You knew that without him, you could do nothing. And you just looked to him. You leaned on him. You devoured his word. You wanted to be in his house every time the door opened. You wanted to get in the Bible and understand it. You wanted to worship him. Can you say amen? And God just kept you through all the pitfalls and brought you through everything. And if we get back to getting desperate for him, leaning on him like that, and looking to him with that kind of dedication, he'll take us through everything else we have to face. So if you think this is not about you tonight, it's about people in prison, I want you to listen to these testimonies for just a few moments before we pray for people that desperately need the Lord tonight. Amen. And pray that God will continue to save the lost through the radio, through the outreach on the website, and through this church in this community and this city. I don't want to just look beyond here because we haven't seen immediate result here. I still believe we're here on this piece of ground for a purpose. And it's not just so that we can, you know, just meet here and not think about all the community around us. You say, well, there's a big church on the corner. I know there is. But do you realize if God began to move in this big old community back here, they couldn't hold them all. Amen. And besides, there's some people I believe the Lord will send for us to disciple and to help them grow as we grow in the Lord tonight. Praise God. So just keep centered upon the Lord tonight as we see this video. Amen.
I'm 33 years old. I've been incarcerated for 13 years, 8 months. I've been in Angola since 94. I was arrested in 91 at 19. And I spent about 2.5 years in the parish jail. I mean, the night before I was arrested, I had came home and my mom had asked me not to go out. She felt like I was gonna get in trouble. And my mom was a Christian woman. My mom had go to church and stuff. She had been going to church for like the past 6 months. And she said, Bubba, she said, I feel like you're going to get in trouble at night. I went out that night, and that was the last night that I would ever be, you know, free, physically free. And when I get in the parish jail, my mom's pastor had came and seen me. It was an old guy, about 70 years old, and I was in the dungeon for a fight. And I had nowhere to turn. I was in a whole new place. You know, life as I knew it existed no longer. You know, I'm in like... It was crazy, man. 19 years old in a parish jail. You got a murder charge, and really, you think your life is over, you know? I had even thought about killing myself when I was there. I'm like, man, I can't do this. I can't live like this. Man, when I first got locked up in that parish jail and I walked in that cell and I seen them concrete walls and them iron bars, man, I felt captivity. And I had met some good brothers, a guy named Steve Dominique, Steve Stewart, Elsie Crosley. And these were some real good brothers. I'm talking about they was really real with the things of God. And I'm talking about, man, we used to have church on the yard back there on Falcon Eagle Fence. It started like 5 people. And before you knew it, it was 30 people in the yard. And these guys, you know, and then we started meeting in the kitchen, you know. And it was just amazing to find brothers that wanted to, you know, really serve the Lord and that was, you know, sincere with it. And that's when my spiritual growth started taking root, is when I started surrendering my life more to God. And that's where the change comes from. You know, before God, I had no purpose. Even before I got arrested, I didn't know what the purpose of my life was. You know what I mean? That's where a man changes, when a man submits to God. You can get all the education you want in the world. If you don't submit to God, then you ain't never going to change. Because your heart has to be changed. And God, the surgeon, has never lost a patient. And he deals with the heart. He's a heart specialist. And that's how I look at it. And you know, people say, well, why do you wait till you come in jail? Because everything's stripped from you. You don't have no type of distractions. You don't have nothing. See, before you come to jail, it's like, well, you in control. You know, you run things, and you don't got time for God. You don't got time to even think about God, you know. I think everybody prays coming up. That's something you're going to do. I done asked God for a brand new car before I got arrested and stuff. But when you get faced with this type of situation, you're like, I don't have nowhere to turn. And when you're facing that hard concrete and that cold steel, you're like, there's something greater than this. You know, I got to call something greater than myself. And you realize it's God that you got to reach out to. Because if it wasn't for God, man, I wouldn't have made it these last 13, 8 months. Man, ain't no way. Ain't no way, bro. He's a God of love and God of compassion, God of forgiveness. And once we tap into that, it's hard to explain, you know, his peace and stuff, man. It's just, it's new every day. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's crazy. I sit in my office and I just feel like I start squalling. I feel like crying like a little baby. It's amazing. I'm like, man, what in the world going on with me, bro? Like I'm finna have emotional records. Being in prison is very difficult. Some days I'm very depressing and discouraged, and I look around, I see men that's been locked up 20, 30, and 40 years. I see, but at the same time, I gotta realize what God's doing, and I gotta understand that his purpose is greater than this life sentence. And see, when I get in God's reality, I gain that peace, you know, that peace and that joy. And I know he's going to bring me out of here. You know what I mean? And I had one guy say, well, what if that don't happen? I said, well, I'm going to die believing. Because the moment I quit believing God, I'm going to become hopeless in a hopeless situation. And it's going to be a sad case. One of my favorite Bible verses is in John 15. He said, there's no greater plan than he who lays his life down for you. And he said, I done that. He said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friend. And you know, people are quick to say, you're my friend, but man, that's personal. If I say you're my friend, I'm saying it's personal. You know, that's a lot of love there. And just, you know that you're loved by God, that's amazing. You know what I mean? I can't express it.
There's only one way that you can teach love. You have to illustrate it, demonstrate it. You have to walk in love. You know, you can't tell me something that I don't see in you. To teach love, it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of character. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of forbearance. You know, you have to merely put up with some stuff. You know, like God puts up with us. You know, and to teach love, you have to allow people to vent. You have to allow people to disagree with you. You have to allow people to be angry sometimes. You know, you have to have a listening ear and a listening heart. You have to have a spirit of compassion. When I was incarcerated, I was a very bitter man. I hated everybody. I was miserable. I didn't know I was miserable. I thought I was right. Just like the world today think they're right. They feel they're right. You know, I hated everybody. I hated the judge. I hated the jury. I hated the DA. Man, I was mad with everybody. But I didn't realize I was mad with myself. If it had not been for Angola, I may not even be alive. You know, because the life I was living, you know, I owned the ballroom. I sang rock and roll. I was traveling all over the place, you know, and in the wrong life. But then this place caused me to focus on myself. And when I looked around, so much blood and so much foolishness on every hand, I said, this is not what I had in mind. How did I come to this point? How did I come to this place? When I looked in the book of Luke, and I read 23rd chapter, 34th verse, that's when I saw it, you know. I saw it right there, and it hit me. The Bible said, while hanging on the cross, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I couldn't understand that. I couldn't understand it. I said, what? While hanging on the cross. While the spit and the blood was draining down his face, while in pain and agony, he said, Father, forgive them. I realized I was wrong hating those people. I was wrong feeling that way. You know, it wasn't the judge, it wasn't the DA, it wasn't the jury, it wasn't my friends, it wasn't family, you know, but it was me. And it was through this situation, God was speaking to me all the time. I just wasn't listening. I couldn't forgive anyone until I forgave myself. And when I forgave myself, I became free. if I had known who I really was, if I had known I was a giant, if I had known I could be a giant of a man in the street, oh, I would have been. But I didn't know. And I began to investigate myself. And God began to show me, you know, if you desire to look in yourself, God will let you see. And I discovered I didn't want to be who I was. And I desired a change. And I said, you know, if I never walk out of these gates, I'll never be that person again.
Not the same as, you know, preaching to the choir. Hallelujah, church. So let's get ready to pray. I was one of those qualified to not touch the ark, but to put that bar through, that wooden bar, amen, covered with gold, and stick it through those rungs to carry the ark somewhere. Amen. And all of us would get together, all of us priests would get together. And as soon as we got under it and we picked that ark up, we would say something loud and clear as a proclamation. We would say what they said when they picked it up. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 And you know what God has made us tonight? According to the book of Revelation, every child of God, every one of Abraham's seed, amen. And God has made us kings and priests unto him. Praise God. When we start interceding, we do not do it as just poor little old beggar-like Christians, but as the very priest of God tonight. And I believe we ought to say, amen, before we leave this building, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. You are priests tonight.
Hallelujah.
As an eagle, they will run and not Paul and Silas came out of that prison, nobody wanted to run for the hills. All of those other prisons that had been real crimes, amen, they believed. They saw people set free. They saw Christian men praising God, and they saw the supernatural power of God. They saw the joy of the Lord, and they were going to go nowhere. Amen. They said there's a freedom beyond what these bars represent. And we want to look into that tonight. We have to go back to that prison. We can have a big block tonight. We're not going anywhere. Amen. And that's what God wants to do in this church. He wants to set us free.
Amen.
And you say, amen, give us back our liberty. How so that we can show the world that this thing is genuine and this thing is real. Praise God. Let's sing one more song tonight. This is kind of an anthem around here at this particular time. And you can go anywhere.